Your Bibles, if you would please, tonight open up to Ephesians chapter number 5 in the Word of God. Ephesians and chapter number 5 in the Word of God this evening. For those of you who are visiting with us, we do welcome you to this third Wednesday night that we've been going over discipleship. And we're kind of going through not an entire curriculum, but hitting different highlights of taking somebody one-on-one and leading them through the Word of God and teaching them and training them and showing them things through the very Word. And we saw several weeks ago begin to dive into this series. Last week, had just a little bit of a pause, but the Brother Mancroney preached for us. And tonight, we're going to jump right back into this series. And so, Ephesians chapter number 5, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight? Ephesians chapter number 5, and I want us to look just at one particular verse here in Ephesians chapter number 5. There is some moving that takes place here. There's really this walk that Paul begins to lead and guide this church through, this walking in love and walking as you are children of light, walking not as fools. And then there's some really great instruction that is given on marriage there towards the end of this chapter. But I want us to look at verse number 1, and although the thought really does continue separated by a semicolon here, I want us just to concentrate on just one thought here. Ephesians chapter 5, would you look with me at verse number 1? The Bible says this: "Be therefore followers of God." Now I want you to answer out loud. Who are we to be followers of? Say it out loud. God. Say it one more time. "Be you followers of God as dear children." This evening I want us to continue really in part number 2 of understanding God. Understanding God. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, I ask, Lord, that You'd meet with us, that You'd be with us, that Father, Lord, right now in this very moment, that we would continue to grow in this series. It is an incredible reminder, Lord, of these core doctrines that many of us have known for a long time. But Father, at times we need to be reminded of them. And not just for head knowledge, but Father, so that we can lead someone else through it. So, Father, as we take notes this evening, may we be alive, may we be awake, and Father, for the next couple of moments, may we tune in to what the Holy Spirit would have for us. We love You, Savior, in Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look at this second part of understanding God, we saw over the last 2 weeks now, really, that when you're leading someone through discipleship, when you're teaching them, you have to have a guide. You must have some kind of foundation. And so we began with understanding God's Word. Remember now, the Word of God is what we use to show that is what saves you and I. It is by faith. The Word of God saves us. The Word of God then feeds us. And then also, the Word of God cleanses us. And from there, then we're going to begin to, after we have this foundation, we are going to begin to talk about understanding God, okay? So now we're going to begin to take the Word of God, and we're going to begin to reveal who God is. We're going to show and remind people and or teach them about where God is and what He does on a day-to-day basis in our life. And remember, it's not just a guessing game. It's not looking out there and, well, I think this is what happens. No, you and I have the very Word of God. And through that, we understand God begins to reveal Himself in different ways through His Word and through creation and through the revealing of His Son on this earth and then the witness of the Holy Spirit. So as we talk about understanding God, and for a long time through this message, over the next several moments, we're going to be on this screen, and then towards the end of the message, I'm going to show it just a couple things very quickly, but we're going to just kind of stay on this screen. That's why I encourage you to kind of take notes tonight for your own notes. Now, when you're, as I'm going to remind you often, as you're discipling someone, we are going to give you all the notes. We're going to help you and allow you to have a curriculum to read and take somebody through. So for some of you that are like, oh my word, in a panic right now as much as you can, don't panic. Take some good notes because it's a good reminder, but we'll have them for you. We saw in understanding God several weeks ago one core concept that is truly being attacked today. When you and I living in 2022, there is one thing about a God that is truly being attacked, and that is the eternality of God, God being eternal. And so we have the textbook. The textbook is the Word of God, and through the Word of God, we understand that God is eternal. Understand that if the world, if Satan can attack the eternality of God, there are several core doctrines that really begin to crumble. You see, if God were not eternal, he could not be immutable in his nature. Therefore, God could not be trusted. But we understand through the Word of God that God cannot change. If you believe that, would you say amen? We cannot change. Therefore, if he cannot change, if he's unable to change, you and I can trust God. But if God were not eternal, he could not be infinitely this perfect being. Therefore, if he was not a perfect being, there are some things that he could not have done, like creation. But you go all the way back to Genesis 1:1. And we understand that you and I, as Christians, do not believe in the Big Bang Theory. You and I do not believe in evolution. I am, as a fact, I believe that creation came in God creating the earth. Is anybody else with me out there? I do not believe it's by accident. I do not believe that we go back billions of years and we think or we guess and maybe this took place. No, I believe in Genesis 1:1 that in 6 literal days, God created the heavens and the earth that you and I exist in to this day. So we're hitting this eternal God. But we also understand that if God were not eternal, he couldn't be omnipotent. That means his power is not endless. He has, watch this now, he has unlimited power. But if he was not omnipotent, then we could not depend on him in certain circumstances. But you and I know that he is omnipotent. Therefore, you and I, hold on, comprehend, and listen now. No matter what circumstance you and I go through, we can trust God. Why? Because there is nothing, hold on, there is nothing that God cannot do. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? I mean, what a God you and I serve. There is nothing that he cannot do. There is no problem in your life or in my life that God cannot handle. Can I tell you this? Even if there was no heaven, I'd still want to be a Christian. Just to have God on this earth. Eternal. But understand that if God were not eternal, then there would not be a first cause of all. There are some things that maybe God could not have done. We just mentioned one, creation, sending his son to this earth. If God were not eternal, then the question of the infidel, who or what may God, would be a valid one. Our kids just asked us this past week, where did God come from? My kids are saved, but all of a sudden their minds start working. There has to be a beginning. Somebody had to create them. You mean he's always existed? In our finite minds, it's hard to comprehend that. It's the thought process of a young kid. But comprehend, God has always existed. God exists today, and God will always exist. And that has to be in the thought, in the mind of a young believer. I just spoke to Kenny and Corbin coming in just a moment ago. Understand these teenagers that come with Michelle's daughters that are here. They're young. They're learning the Word of God. This is vital to them getting in the Word. Lori was just saved recently. This is vital to her understanding who God is. Even Michelle, who's here and has been saved for several months now, and others who are just coming in and just growing. Listen now, it is vital that they comprehend that the God of Jacob and Isaac and Joseph and Paul and Peter and Mary and Ruth and Esther, that God has always existed and that God will always exist. No matter what science tries to tell you, no matter what Discovery Channel or History Channel or National Geographic Channel or even Disney Plus trying to tear down our eternal God, let me tell you something, friend. Let God be true and every man a liar. This Bible does not lie. So we are beginning to understand God. Now that we understand that he is eternal, there is this thought process that must come next when you are leading somebody who is young. That means young in being saved. They might be a child. They might be a 60-year-old. They might be somewhere in between. It does not matter. They're beginning to comprehend the Word of God. So now we're going to lead them in this Bible that is infallible, this Bible that is preserved, this Bible that is not wrong, inerrant. Now we're taking someone, we're showing them, we're revealing to them who this eternal God is. Now check it out. This is where it gets really neat. This eternal God has an interest in our lives. Think about that. He's interested in you. Mom, dad, he's interested in you. College student, he takes an interest in your life. He loves you. And he wants to now, watch very carefully, his desire is to now lead us. See, oftentimes what we do is we have so many buying into the gospel without selling out for the gospel. For so long, we have taught and we have preached, hey, get your fire insurance. Hey, God will save you from hell. There's heaven to come. And we preach this to our teens, and it's not a bad thing at all. Early in my life, George, I'll just tell you, the main reason that I got saved as a kid is I did not want to go to hell. I heard a pastor stand up and he preached hellfire brimstone. And to be honest with you, as a young kid, I was sitting there. I didn't want to go to hell. So how do I get out of that? That's my testimony. Okay, understand. That's good and that's great. And we have heaven to come. And I'm thankful. I'm here thankful tonight. We don't have to worry about hell. Amen. Isn't that great? And I'm trying to walk up the aisles because I preach up front. I'm down on the platform, and it looks like I'm literally live stream preaching to nobody. I'm not sure what the deal is. Like sitting back here, check this out. I don't know if the camera can follow me. Pastor Dan put this really cool thing in here. I think I might move my pulpit right here. And some of you back row Baptists, man, I mean, you're getting nervous right now, like super nervous. But I just want to prove to live stream we do have people at Crosspoint tonight. Now understand, we have those, we preach, okay, hell, but after we're saved, understand that God is interested in guiding our lives and our paths. There's this really incredible thought that maybe you never think about here in Ephesians 5 at verse number 1, but I want you to look at the wording. This is really incredible. Now watch. Listen to this interesting command. It says, be therefore followers of God. In this verse, we find this command, and it's interesting. You and I are commanded to follow God. It seems strange that the Apostle Paul would have to command the believers or this church of Ephesus to follow God. I mean, why would this be hard to believe? But this is the command. Be therefore followers of God. He's laying it out very clear. I mean, they comprehended that the Lord had saved them from hell. They're comprehending now that the Lord had birthed them into the most wonderful family in the world, that he was going to feed them their daily bread, that the Lord was preparing them a home in heaven, that they're comprehending that the Lord had graciously and mercifully given them compassion in their daily lives. It would seem strange that there is this command given to be followers of God. But this is right for us to do. This is an encouragement. It would only seem right that these children would desire and or want to follow God. But the wording is really spectacular here that it says, be you followers, watch now, of God as dear children. In the Word of God, this is, I use the King James Version of the Bible, and I love the King James. It's a trusted version. It's been around for over 400 years, and it comes from the right manuscripts, and to be honest with you, I've memorized hundreds of verses in it, and I love it, and I love in the King James that what is written here only happens once in the Bible. The word dear children only takes place once. We have dearly beloved, and we have several other dearly, but only one time do we find dear children here in this passage of Scripture. This dear children, these people that mean so much to God, this is a love that God has for his children. Watch now, his love is unchanging. Even when you and I are not who we ought to be, or we don't behave as we ought to be, God's love still is there in our lives. But those who follow him, check it out now, are very dear to him. The same is true with our children. When they follow right, when they do what's right, when they follow God, when they follow their parents' commandment, that there is little stress in our lives, and we appreciate them. We don't love them more than the disobedient children, but their manner of life and their manner of following us is a blessing to us. If you agree with this or follow the thought, would you say amen tonight? I don't want to lose you, and I'm going a little bit fast, but we've got a couple things we want to hit, and it's really good here, so just follow along. I've seen, and you have seen, oftentimes, where a teenager will be brought up in a good home, their parents love them, and man, they were in church, and they did what's right, and they get to this age, and they totally turn their backs, really, on this incredible or wonderful heritage that they've been born into. And oftentimes they systematically destroy their lives and their testimony and even really sometimes deeply hurt their parents. Why does this happen? Well, sometimes children and even teenagers, college students, young adults, do not appreciate the sacrifice that comes from parents. It's not always a kid's fault. Sometimes they're brought up in the wrong circumstances. But comprehend, sometimes there is the lack of appreciation, and then there is a turning away from. Now, I want us, I'm not harping on teenagers tonight, but I want us to just think about this for a moment, because as Christians, oftentimes that can be our heart as well. We forget to appreciate, to love, and be thankful for what God has done for you and for me. And when that takes place, oftentimes again, just like that teenager, we can systematically begin to turn away from the things that God has given in our lives to bless us and to help us and to give us that hope and grace and mercy and that love. And all of a sudden, we, even as adults in the very Word of God, not just taking the milk, but also the meat, can begin to turn away from, and we begin to forget, listen now, that you and I are saved. We are bought with a price. We are different. We are a peculiar people. You and I serve a thrice holy God, a God that has always existed and will always exist, a God that takes interest in your life and in my life. Comprehend this today. What God desires for you and for me in our life, no matter how long we've been saved, whether it's Pastor Defoe for 60 plus years or whether it's a young Christian that's under 6 months in this room, God takes an interest in our life, and he, watch now, he desires, it is a desire for him to, well, guide our everyday steps. Amen. Well, if you came in here and the first time you have eaten spiritually all week is tonight, then friend, I'm not being mean, but you're a weak Christian. If you hadn't eaten since Sunday, anybody like that in here? Anybody? Physically? We've all eaten. If we had not eaten since Sunday and came in here, we'd be pretty weak. The songs Brother Man Crony led tonight, man, I loved it. I'm not sure where he's at, but man, he picked some good songs. And I love that. I always tell him, hey, Wednesday night, let's not sing, you know, some 1600s hymn that we're all falling asleep. Like, let's get it going. Onward Christian Soldiers, you know. I feel like we're onward Christian soldiers sometimes. And then we're AWOL the very next day. So we live our life. If we didn't eat, we'd be feeble. You're not eating spiritually, you're going to be weak.
God desires to lead and to guide us. But watch now, not everyone who follows Christ is the right type of follower. A young Christian, now hold on, listen, tune in, check this out. A young Christian has to comprehend that just because someone is in church, just because somebody sings the hymn, just because somebody carries a family Bible, doesn't mean necessarily that they are the right type of follower. There's a lot of different types of followers that we see, examples that are given throughout the Word of God. We don't have time to go through each of them, but I do want to just highlight a couple of them very quickly. Understand, and this isn't on the board. If you want to take some notes of this, great, but watch this very carefully. When somebody's learning the Word of God and or a seasoned Christian, they can be, check it out, a casual follower. They're those who follow the Lord at times, but they drift back and forth. They're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Lucha, they are inconsistent believers. Listen now. There are those when things are going good, you never see them. When things are going great and the marriage is good, the kids are good, grandkids are good, bills are paid, they're not going to be in church. They're not going to be in the Word of God. It's almost like they desire to have some sort of just a storm come in their life so they can come back to God. There are oftentimes those, I heard it this past week, I read, they often treat Jesus the way that Saul treated David. They want Jesus to slay the giants and sing evil spirits away, but they don't want him to be king in their life. Oftentimes, that's how we treat God. Yeah, we're a genie in a bottle. Come on, and the Lord, work this out. Give me a job. Give me a raise. Beat my teenagers away. Beat my marriage. Bless me. And then all of a sudden, things are going good, and you never hear from them again. It's a casual follower. There's also a conditional follower. Those who follow what they want and reject what they do not like. Check it out now. This is really, truly a selfish believer. They know what the Word of God says, but what they really want is to treat God's Word like it's a buffet. I like this, so I'll take this. Ooh, I like the mercy part, I'll take that. Ooh, I like the grace part. Yeah, that's good. Okay, I want the peace part. I like that. Okay, but here's what the Bible says you shouldn't be involved in. I don't really like that because I really like to be involved in it. Really makes my flesh feel good. Understand, this is not a buffet, friend. This is the Word of God. It must be followed. It must be taught. That's why I'm so passionate about preaching. Why? Because the preaching of the Word of God, it ought to go forth and ring forth right in the pulpits around the globe. Why? Because the Bible is what gives us our necessary food, and we can't skip and pick and I like this, but I don't like this. Honestly, truly, that's why we see so many wars against Christians today, because some want this and some want this, and I like this and I don't like this, and preference is exalted, standards exalted, preferences put down, standards put down. Hold on, time out. Why don't we just get back to the Bible? Get back to the Word. There are those that are conditional, but there are those that are cautious. Okay, so we have the Word of God. We understand God's eternal. Now God wants to lead and guide us. So what kind of follower are we going to be? Well, are we going to be conditional? Well, are we going to be casual? There are those that are cautious. Those who follow afar off. They remain close enough just to see what's going on, but not close enough to be an effective part of it. Can I tell you, around the globe today, what we see in our churches, in our Baptist churches, if they're those that, man, they attend, they don't want to be a part. They're cautious, you know. Well, hey, can you help out in the nursery? Oh, I'm not going to be part of the nursery. Well, how come? Well, I heard Sister So-and-so's been in there since 1947, and she was only asked once. Well, did you be a part of the choir? No. How you be a part of the choir? Well, how come? Well, I heard through the grapevine, you got to be there at 9:30 in the morning on Sunday morning. And you know, I like to be there about, 10:05, run in a life stage group, kind of get my desserts, and then head back out to the hall and kind of greet everybody as they're coming in. And then when pastors preach, it's still hang out in the hall, greet everybody. That's just how I roll. I'm not making fun of anybody, but I'm making fun of somebody. I'm just saying. I'm nodding. They're cautious. And I want to remind us this evening, we have one life to give Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, friend, when I stand before him, I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to get there, and well, I know 2020 scared me to death, and so 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025, 2026, I was just going to see how the economy did, see what the coronavirus did. I was very cautious. I just didn't want to get involved. You know, God, I loved you. No. I want him to find me faithful.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. You and I have been given a commission to charge the gates of hell. They'd be scared, cautious. Well, I don't know. You have this woke crowd out there. I heard if they catch wind of what's going on in here, that hey friend, that they've known what's going on these walls for a long time. Yeah, yeah. We can't don't let the outside world scare us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We have, if you haven't read Revelation lately, I encourage you, go back and read Revelation. For those of you who are newly saved, we're going to train you through Revelation because you're going to get in there and you're going to think, what a pale horse, my word. What is this? And what's the seals being opened up? And armies from the east, west, what's all this mean? Hey, we're going to get there. But let me just fill you in. In the end of the end of the end of the book, you read it, we win. Somebody help me out, amen? We win. But then there's the committed follower. The committed follower, where he leads me, I'll follow. Anywhere, everywhere, anytime and every time. These follow the Lord. They follow closely and they follow immediately. Okay, so let's break it down. We got the Word of God. We have an eternal God that we have looked at and we have proven through the Word of God. That God wants to guide our lives. So what kind of follower are we going to be? We're going to be a committed follower. Okay, now check it out. Watch. So that now that committed follower, what is there to gain? So let's just say, Brother Burwell, when we got saved, what is a huge benefit, not on this earth, but what is a huge benefit to come? It's obvious. Go ahead. We get to go to heaven. How many say that's, I mean, that's pretty obvious. Like, okay, we get to, Aaron, you get to go to heaven, man. We're brothers in Christ. Boom, here we are. Heaven's to come. Okay, so I'm going to tell somebody, but we have the Word of God, and we have an eternal God, and he wants to guide your life. So what a person's going to say this, Michelle, I was just going to say. He's like, Brother Randy, he's going to say, so what's in it for me? What do I get? I already got fire insurance. I'm already going to heaven. Eternal security. I believe in eternal security. I believe the Word of God proves that once saved, always saved, that you and I cannot lose our salvation. Okay, but what is to come? What's to gain on this earth? Well, there are several things that we can gain. This is going to be on the PowerPoint. Number one, we gain when we are a committed follower, we gain his providence. His providence. This is divine guidance or care. You see, our steps have been commissioned. That means this, our steps are ordered. The Bible says this in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Psalm 119, verse number 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That means this, when we get saved and when we follow God, we do not follow, listen now, this is contrary to what we've been taught sometimes, we do not follow blindly. One of the worst things we can teach a college student or a young person is that you have to find the will of God. As if God's out there with this carrot on the end of a stick saying, oh, come on, you can get it, you can find it. And we put blindfolders on it. Oh, where's the will of God? It's got to be over here. Oh, where's the will of God? Hold on, time out. Do you know that God reveals his will to us? Amen. It's not my job to find it. It's his job to give it to us. And he does. But how do we get it? How do we gain it? You have to be in the Word of God. It's communication. And Carrie and I have been married now for 15 years. In the month, it'll be 16 years. If we'd have gone the last 15 years and we were just kind of, you know, just give me some fist pumps. Okay, we're just doing life together, I guess. No, understand. We know each other. Well, man, we love each other. How is that possible after 15 years? I'd say this, after 15 years, it has grown. How many are thankful for your husband and wife? Did you say amen tonight? It's grown. Well, how's that possible? Communication. We talk. We can read each other. We know each other. Oftentimes, Carrie will say, hey, what's wrong? I never said anything was wrong. I didn't walk in the house and be like, oh, I'm telling you what, this person, that person, this person, the traffic, oh, we're talking about really hard. The traffic on 100th has gotten crazy lately. At 36, how long is it going to take to fix 36? Look, she doesn't even have to. She doesn't even have to ask. She knows me. What's wrong? Do you know we can know our God? And he knows us. It is this providence. The Lord is guiding us, not blindly. The Bible says in John chapter 8, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, there is this providence when you and I follow him. Well, what's in it for me? Well, what do I get? If God wants to guide me, okay, I'll let him guide me. What I get? You get provision. You get the best life ever. You get a God that loves you. Let me tell you something. Being in the will of God is incredible. It's not that you and I don't have hard times. It's not that cancer leaves us alone or bills leave us alone. Or it doesn't mean that you and I just have a pep in our step for the rest of our life. No, but I'm telling you this. What it does give you and I is a Savior that is with us every step of the way. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. It's provision, but secondly, it's protection. The Bible says this in Psalm 17, hold up my goings in thy paths, and my footsteps slip not. That means this, God is guarding our steps. He is there to protect us. Psalm 121 and verse number 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. I apologize, the PowerPoint 2 is all mixed up. I don't like that. But anyways, he is guarding our steps. He's guarding our situations. Check this out, what it says. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. Watch this now. But safety is of the Lord. You know that people get so caught up and worried about everything that's coming their way. Now, I'm not picking on anybody. This is not a speech. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. We see our doctors. We see our nurses. But I'm just telling you this. I'm going to be super straight. You ready for this? I'm going to give you some news you probably never heard before. You are going to die. I hate to break it to you, but somebody had to tell you. And I'm your pastor, and I love you, so there it is. Check it out. So am I. I'm going to die. But do you and I comprehend? We may not. We may hear the trump sound. Anybody with me? Amen. Wouldn't that be great? Do you know that we can become so, I'm going to use this word, you ready for this? Obsessed with death and so worried about it that it'll keep us up at night. Can you imagine? Oh, I heard Russia, that crazy man over there could put his hand on the red button and hit it, and all of a sudden the whole world goes up in nukes. And I heard that, oh, this cold can do this, and this allergies. Boy, allergies in Indiana, I'm telling you, could just about kill you. I mean, is anybody with me? It's unbelievable. This Allegra's not working too well. I'm going to go to Claritin. But nonetheless, look, if it's of allergies or if it's of a nuke, we're going home one day. But do you know that there are some, even as Christians, will be so concerned and so worried, it will literally keep them up at night. I'm going to give you a little tip. Turn off the news for a little while and get focused on the Word of God. Because the Lord will protect our sleep. Listen what the psalmist said. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Do you know that there is such an incredible peace even with what's going on? I'll be honest, I took a picture of it. I was going to put it on Facebook, but I thought it'd be too political. But look, I paid $75.01 to fill up Carrie's van. And that was at Costco, which is like 13 cents cheaper. Let me tell you something. I could be so concerned and so worried, Brother Mike, about that it could keep me up at night. But why? God's got this, friend. Aggravating? Without a doubt. Wish the election was tomorrow? For me personally? Absolutely. Can't wait. But let me tell you something. God is bigger than the economy, and he's bigger than Putin, and he's bigger than these wars, and he's bigger than our military or who sits in the White House. Let me tell you something. Our God is great.
Amen.
And he's got us. So what do I do, Pastor? Put your head on that pillow tonight and stop worrying. We're all going to heaven. This world's not our home. That's like going to a hotel room and being so worried about, oh my word, this hotel. And I saw a pipe was leaking and their coffee wasn't hot and the breakfast wasn't perfect and there was a rip in the chair. And oh, I'm just so concerned. And concerned. Why? Well, I'm here for, you know, 8 hours of sleep. Who cares? It's not your home. It's not your hotel. You don't own it. Look, same thing as on this earth. Why are we worried about what's going on here? Is anybody with me? We're going home. Provision, protection. Watch this and I'm done. He also gives us a promise. When he guides our life, he gives us a promise. 2 Timothy says this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. He gives us a promise. We follow him when we are a committed follower. When we allow him to guide our steps. Man, provision, great, wonderful. He's incredible. Protection, love it. Sleep in peace tonight. But more than all that, he gives us this promise. Friend, understand, the end of the road will always be fulfillment of purpose. It'll be a life of no regrets. Because we have fought a good fight. We have served him. We have lived for him. We've let him guide our paths. When God leads us, at the end of life, there is not that what if moment. I don't want, Pastor Dan, a what if moment. No, I just want to every day get up, God, guide my paths. Doesn't matter, Denny, how long you've been saved, or for the youngest person who's been saved, Brother Rick, doesn't matter. Every day we have to purpose. God, I want to follow you. Okay, well, let me get on Facebook and try to find a quick. No, no, no. Well, let me just Google real quick. No, no. God, I want to follow you. And here's what God says. Let me teach you.
Amen.
Let me show you. Let me guide you. Turn it off for a little while. Stop scrolling. Let's get back to the book.
Amen.
Discipleship. Understanding God.